Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.
Oh, Collingwood fans wake up this morning with a big smile on their face. The Tigers, well, have absolutely blown an opportunity to get a win on the board. We've got a massive Dead Set Legends coming your way today. Retiring sporting superstar, and I don't use that term lightly, Lauren Jackson joins us after announcing she is done with basketball. Mark Harvey from the Essendon Football Club, Catherine Riewoldt, to talk all about her fellas' 300th game tonight and the work that's going towards Maddie's vision. Rusty to talk all things motorsport, but I must say, bigger and better than that. Co-hosting today, oh, what about this man? He rolls out of the jungle and into the studio, the big Fevalenko, you beauty, Brendan Favola. Hello, Fev.
Good morning, Howie. What's going on?
Well, wonderful to have you in here. We put the call out, and I said, he's not going to come on with us, and then you're here, which is fantastic
yeah,
news.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, mate, and obviously I've listened to your show, you know, many a times, been on a few times.
So you have.
To be sitting in this chair alongside you, you know, it's quite humbling.
One really. Of the great honours of your life, you put
like,
it to me.
You look like you've been in the jungle. Well, you need a steak.
No.
Look at you.
Just ease
you
up
like
now. Don't be taking on the duck's role of potting me for being skinny. Now, I must say, in 2.5 years, Duck has never brought a guest to this show, but you've come in today with your chest puffed out and talked about who you bring to the show after 11 o'clock. Tell me the name.
Yeah, it's I'm up and about. I did my first interview on the red carpet on Wednesday or Tuesday night, actually. And
with?
Just my mate, Hugh Jackman.
Oh.
Yeah, just me, mate.
So we'll hear you and Hugh later on in the show.
Yeah, you can hear my interview. I actually went to follow him on Twitter. He's got like 10 million followers and doesn't follow anyone.
Doesn't he?
That's how much swagger he's got.
Has he jumped on the Feb train or
he's
not?
Just zero following. Like, who follows no one? So he's just got it personally just for himself.
Well, good on him. He'll be on the show after 11, which I'm looking forward to. So much to get through. Next, though, we need to talk about the footy. The Pies stole one against the Tigers last night. Feb's got his views on that. Mark out, and Brendan Favola is in the studio on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. When somehow, I'm not sure how, Collingwood won last night by 1 point. Brody Grundy with a late goal. 4 seconds on the clock. And joining us, the Turkle Boy, all that and more. An absolute star from the Collingwood Football Club. Gets it done in the back line. Nathan Brown. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Howie. How are you going?
Well, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Pretty tired at the moment, actually. But, yeah, pretty stoked after a pretty bad loss up in Sydney and a pretty big week. So, yeah, that win was very good to get.
I want to play you a bit of audio. You won't have heard it, but these are the closing stages, Nath.
He set it up. He's just set it up top of the square. Pendlebury can't hang on. Grundy! Grundy! He's kicked a sausage! What the bloody hell's going on? Brody Grundy has kicked a goal with 4 seconds left. The Maggies have hit the front.
Brilliant call by JB on Triple M Footy. Where were you, Brownie, when all that was going on?
I was up in the middle of the ground, I think, just watching it all unfold. It was unreal. It was just sort of, you see the kick from Darce go in, you're just like, please, just something go our way. And like even like before that, a few centre clearances and that, I think from Levi Greenwood and that, just a few things just went our way finally for once in a footy game. So just to sit back and watch it was bloody delightful.
Oh, I bet it was delightful. And that's what I want to ask you about. Feb's experienced a lot of times. I obviously never have and never will. But what's it like being at the MCG in front of 70,000 people going bananas? Tell us about those 10 or 15 seconds after when you won a game, you probably thought to yourself you had no real chance of winning.
Well, there's two different cheers. I reckon Feb kicked 8 on me once.
I can't remember. I think it was in July 13th and it was at the MCG anyway.
you're kicking them over your head and everything. So there's those kind of cheers and boos and that. But, yeah, after a win, it's just crazy. And the stands sort of shaking. You can't talk to your mate next year. So they're pretty good to be involved in. And, I guess we're very lucky to get big crowds to the game and then to pull off a win like that is just amazing.
Yeah, it is an amazing feeling when you're out there, especially as a player from another club when you're playing against Collingwood, because you know they're always going to turn up no matter where you're on the ladder. But speaking about Darcy Moore, mate, what sort of potential has this kid got? He looks like he's got a bit of swagger, a bit of Chris Gayle. We've been talking about him this morning about him. And just he's got a great set of hands, beautiful kick of the footy, and he's only really raw.
Yeah, he is. He's got a hell of a potential. He's got a really good, he's very athletic, he's got a bit of pace, and he's the best thing, probably the best attribute about him, he jumps directly at the ball and takes the ball at the highest point. So if you look at he gets in a lot of pack marks, but his hands are just above just everyone, and he gets above the defenders. So his ability to do that and get his hands to the footy is great. And if he doesn't mark it, he brings it down to the boys mopping it up.
I reckon he's one of those players when you play a scratch. I didn't play many scratch matches, mate, but you, as a backman, you just don't want to play on.
Oh, no, it's terrible. I was doing it because I pulled up in Sydney, pulled up with a tight hammy, so I had to do it, and he pulled up a bit sore as well. And we were doing a fitness test the day before the game, and it was just a bit of one-on-one out of the square, and he was just not going easy on me, just taking it full seriously, and shirt front me and everything. He's a kid that gives 100% no matter what situation it is. So just all pre-season, just flat out, and he's got a bright future.
Now yesterday, last night, it was a get-out-of-jail, I suppose, for you guys, but I think I was watching it on TV, and about three-quarter time, I just thought, he's always in it, no matter what. Even when there's 5 minutes to go, I thought, the belief with you guys, especially after getting beat by, 80-odd points last week, and then the turmoil that happened throughout the club during the week, but to just look like you blokes just got a great bond.
Yeah, no, thanks, Fev. I think, we do, and we've sort of worked hard. We've got a young group, and we've worked hard on our sort of connection and relationships and all that at the club. But I think throughout the NAB Cup, our ability to put like five, six goals on really, really fast. We did that a few times in the NAB Cup. So we sort of know that we can, if we get it right and we get our game plan right and things fall our way, we can actually put on score fairly quickly. So with that, we sort of get a bit of belief that we're not out of the game. So, it was good that we were able to do that tonight, last night, because, yes, we were
you're in all sorts of trouble. Nate, before we let you go, Fev did touch on the stuff the footy club had been during the week. And, I'm not wanting you to answer on behalf of your teammate or any of that type of stuff. But just yourself, you open the paper and you read that. Do you have to go home and have a chat with your parents or your partner or your family? Or does it... It becomes a very personal thing, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is. And it's sort of, you do, and you get angry about that, and you don't like being perceived by the public in a certain way, and especially over something that's been made up and it's not even true. So, journos these days can write whatever they want, but seem to get away with it. So, but in the inner sanctum, we've all been pretty tight. And the boys are pretty good, and even when I go home to my wife and my family, they know who I am and stuff like that. So there's no sort of problem with that. What journos want to print and true or not true, that's how it is these days. So.
Well answered.
Yeah, no, appreciate it, Nath. Listen, congratulations on the win. Another game next week, so it all moves on. We always appreciate your time, mate, having a chat with us. You're a good friend of this show.
Say well done to Feb for his win, the King of the Jungle. Me and Mrs. have watched every single episode.
Thanks, Brownie.
It's
tough work.
Absolutely unreal.
Thanks, buddy.
You're a good man, Brownie. We appreciate your time.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, mate.
A lot of love for you. Lot of love, not just from Victoria, but Australia. Ladies coming up, hugging you, grandmas, grandpas, everyone.
I don't think I've ever been praised by a Collingwood supporter or player ever before, so I'm a little bit chuffed about that. But, he's obviously battled a bit of injury. It was good to see him back. And also Ben Reid last night. Yeah. I thought he really showed a lot of stability back there. And he's great by foot.
Yeah, he is.
And people forget he's an All-Australian centre-half back.
And he's bigger than you appreciate.
And he's big.
He's a big, big boy.
Still kicked eight on him, but he's big.
You're going well.
I'm joking. Nate brought it up.
Genuinely excited about the next guest. A bit of a hero of mine. Love watching her do a thing. 3 Olympic silver medals, 1 Olympic bronze medal, 12 seasons playing for the Seattle Storm, MVP awards, WNBA championship. She's a star. And this week she announced that her basketball career is done. Hello to Lauren Jackson. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, how are you doing?
Absolutely stoked to be speaking to you. There's been a lot of talk this week about your knee and the fact you're not going to be able to go into the next Olympics, but no worries about all that. What about the fact that you're winding up one of the most successful, positive and brilliant careers in Australian sport? Congratulations, Lauren.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I said to my mum yesterday, it doesn't feel like a celebration. It's actually really kind of sad. And I'm just, at the moment, I've got so many different emotions. I just can't, I can't figure them out.
Sounds like you're sitting in your little Range Rover there, mate.
Oh, Fev, you know me way too well. I am. My father's sitting right next to me. He's driving, so...
How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, darling. Hey, how
are
you going? Getting married again, I hear.
Oh, bang, exclusive.
Oh, bang. All right. I don't know if I'm getting married again, mate, but it's good to be back at home, my friend. It's good for the kids and good for everyone. It's good for me. You know what I'm
good
like.
For you. Yeah, I do know what you like. So you're going to head down this way?
Mate, she's an Albury girl, Lauren, and obviously I was living up in Yarra, so we caught up a lot. Good country girl. I was up there last weekend anyway, but yeah, it went well. I was up in Yarrawonga, and it's not about me. Let's interview you. It's not about me.
Okay.
Now I remember sitting across from you, we were having a nice glass of red, and I think I might have asked you about your greatest moments in sport, and I think with the Olympics coming up, you know, walking out carrying the Australian flag, can you run the listeners through that?
You know, I actually found a diary last night. I used to keep journals when I was really young, and I've gotten rid of, I thought I'd gotten rid of all of them, but I didn't. And it sort of went through how I felt after, you know, when I got back to the room. And you know what? Because I don't actually remember it, but apparently I was really, really excited and it was really euphoric and everything. But sitting here right now, I can't remember exactly how I felt. And it's the same with winning championships and everything. Like, I think you just, something happens in your body. Maybe it's a chemical thing and you just, it's in the moment. And then when it's gone, reliving it is through YouTube or some sort of, it's so hard. It's
Are
so
you Googling yourself?
It's funny because on Twitter at the moment, people are posting all this footage of me playing when I was over in the WNBA, and I'm watching it thinking, oh, my God, I actually was really good. I had an amazing turnaround jump shot. But it's like, honestly, at the moment, I just cannot figure out how I feel. And I'm doing interviews and things like that, but it's, the girls are in training camp, and I feel free. Like, I'm not ever going to be drug tested again. I'm not ever going to be told I have to be in Canberra ever again. I'm not going to be told anything. Like, I'm a 34-year-old woman that can actually do whatever she wants, and I'm just trying to grasp it.
I think you did whatever you want anyway, didn't you?
Yeah, no, you know, I did, but I had to do it very privately.
Lauren, you're going to find in the next few years there's going to be young basketballers come through, and it will have already started happening, and they'll say, why did you get into basketball? And they'll say, because I grew up and I watched Lauren Jackson and I wanted to be Lauren Jackson. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to leave your sport.
Yeah, look, it's basketball was my life. Basketball was the love of my life. You know, I never really did anything else for 20, 30 years. I started playing when I was 4 years old, and when I was 6, I told people I was going to be at the AIS when I was 15 in year 10, and I was. And I told people I was going to play for Australia, and I did. And everything was basketball, and now it's like over, and I can't grasp it. I'm really kind of struggling with it.
I know the number 15's been hung up now, mate, which was your basketball number, but I don't think many people know the sort of struggles you've gone through the last couple of years. And, you know, I witnessed that firsthand. I went into the hospital and saw you in there after, I think, your 1,000th knee operation. And you just lay there and you're like, I want to get back, I want to get back. And you're doing so much work on the court after your operation. Then you had another setback. How frustrating is it? Because you've still mentally got it. It's just the only thing is it's physical. You can't get back out there.
Yeah, it is. It's physical. Like, in my head, I desperately wanted to play, and I know I really could have been at the top of my game if I didn't have this injury. And oh gosh, like, there's a part of me that wants to get the knee replacement now, because apparently you can actually come back and start playing again. And I want to play Siebel. I want to play local basketball and just finish properly.
John Farnham,
you know, it's,
come back already.
No, I mean, I don't. It's not for Australia, but just for me, I miss the sport so much that I play Division D basketball and enjoy it. I just want to have that opportunity to play the sport again, and it's so sad.
Lauren, what a wonderful thing, though, that you've played for 20 years and you want to get better and get back out there again playing at any level. I wish we had more time to chat with you, because you're a superstar. We'll have to get you on again in the next few weeks. But thanks for having a chat with us. And again, congratulations. You've inspired so many people.
Thank you very much.
It's a positive story. You know, your knee might be cooked, but it's such a brilliant positive story, and we absolutely love your work.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Seb, I'll see you soon, buddy.
Congratulations, mate. You're a superstar. Hey, enjoy retirement. We'll have a nice bottle of red, eh?
Absolutely. I'll see you
there. Another front page. There's another front page story. First it was Dustin Martin, and now it's Lauren Jackson. Next it might be Mark Harvey. She's a star, Lauren Jackson.
Yeah,
absolutely,
she's a
love
superstar.
It. Mark Harvey joins us next. Mark out. Brendan Favola going beautifully. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. I just enjoy saying that, Feb. It's just lovely to have you here. Brendan Favola.
It's lovely to be here.
Well, it's beautiful. And that was very nice with Lauren Jackson. Big day for the Essendon Footy Club today. Bomber fans will gather pre-game at Fed Square at midday before marching down to the MCG. Joining together around the banner, encouraged to stand up and support the club and its future around the stadium, wherever they are in the world, which is fantastic. And from the Essendon Football Club, one of my favourites joins us. A funny man. We don't often see it at the press conferences when he's a coach, but he's a funny unit. Mark Harvey joins us from Essendon. Hello, Harbs.
Morning, Howie, and I think we've got your boss, Dave Barham, who's on the board now, also marching as well, too. So,
yes.
He'll be there. Am I okay to speak to Fev, knowing that he's been in South Africa? Is he out of quarantine?
No, he is, and just on my boss, he's almost convinced me to become a Bombers man, and being my boss, I've almost made the move. So, well done to Davey Barham. You'll get to speak to Fev in a moment. Firstly, from myself, Harbs, you've coached so many teams and you build up a structure and a process which we hear every week. How hard is it to get a brand new group of players, a big group, and move them into what you're trying to do as a footy club?
Well, we're going through that again, just in a different format with these top-up players. There's obviously, right now, they haven't played a lot of football together. So, for instance, I'm looking after the back line, and a lot of those guys, Gwilt and Bagley, have played together for a period of time, but the rest of the guys that we're introducing around there are quite new, and they're still understanding strengths and weaknesses and how collectively you defend as a unit. So it's been interesting experiment. I'm sure in coming weeks you're going to find us really start to gel a little bit more. If you have a look at our second half last week against Gold Coast, well, I think we did a lot of things right, and that was a sign of progress.
So now, do you have to approach it differently as a coach, Harves, trying to integrate so many new facets into your system?
Well, yeah, well, you do. Obviously, John's got his thought process on how he wants the game played, so you've got to reinforce that the whole time. But and I tell you what has been good, though, like having Kelly and Stokes and these sort of guys, just their contribution to meetings, you can see why they've won premierships, played in elite teams. Their thought process and their decision-making in meetings and hopefully in games whereby they can give younger players even assistance in that area throughout the course of the game will be invaluable.
Now, mate, talking about South Africa halves and top-up players, I'm in good nick at the moment.
Come on.
I'm in good nick.
Well, so what, when you eat scorpions, intestines and all that sort of stuff, I'm not sure.
Mate, if you want bums on seats, I can turn it on. Don't worry about that.
Unfortunately, these days, Steve, you have to move out of the Gold Coast.
Oh, do you? Oh.
Bums on seats. It's like having duck back here in the studio.
Now, how are they going, mate? Are they? What about the players that obviously have been banned? I think I haven't watched much footy because I've obviously been overseas, but I see the boys still training. What's their expectation?
Well, they're obviously really keen to make sure that they continue on their fitness regime and get involved from a football training aspect as much as they can. I think they train about three or four times a week. Obviously, we as a club can't have anything to do with that. It's good to see Heath Hocking signed overnight.
That's great news.
When he comes back after his ban, that's a really good sign that the group is starting to think about coming back. I saw Dyson Heppel last night. We had a VFL game, a practice game last night. His brother plays in our seconds. He was there. Well, once again, they're actually okay, but obviously they're frustrated with not playing at the moment. So hopefully time passes quickly.
Now, how good's this bloke? I played on him, Dustin Fletcher. He's played for 400 years. He travels up to the Gold Coast to watch the boys play round one.
Yeah, well, also Stanton was up there as well too. So yeah, I mean these guys, particularly those two guys, they've played their whole careers at Essendon, and Dustin's been there for 25 years. So the football club's not lost on him, certainly. So I guess today, with the Federation Square and the march, it's just a united front about our club. Membership slogan, don the sash, and just a game where we can all get together. I think before the game, we're having a lot of past players that will be either side of the banner. And Ken Fraser, who's the 1965 captain, is going to shake hands with Brendan Goddard before they go out. So the club's just getting behind what's been a difficult time.
EFC.com.au. You can still sign up as a member, obviously. Halves, as we let you go, Fev was saying to me he played a couple of games last week and he had to go up to play for the Pigeons and he'd done his quad and wasn't going to play. And then he said, yeah, but I still kick nine. I think he's actually fair dinkum about being the 13th top-up player. I don't think he's joking with you, Halves.
I've got no doubt.
I still got it.
I'll tell you what, when I saw him sharp warning on that show, he can do anything.
Good on you, Halves. We appreciate your time. As I said, it's always nice to chat with you and good luck to you and the Bombers today and for the rest of the season.
Good on you, boys. Sir.
Thanks, Halves.
Great to speak to Mark Harvey.
And just a quick note, Joey Danaher, obviously a famous name down at the Bombers, and TD was actually my forwards coach down at Carlton. Geez, it'd be a good afternoon if TD's down there. But he plays his 50th game today. And
it's gone quick, hasn't it?
It's gone really. He's only 22, so... you know, he's an amazing talent and, you know, we haven't seen the best of him yet and he's only played, you know, he's 50 games up.
He's the future. That's why Essendon supporters need to jump on board. Congratulations to Victoria, Sheffield Shield champions for the 30th time. I thought Fev was going to get a bit tricky at the end, a small target on the final day, then Marcus Stoinis, 6-6-6-6, and that was the end of it. I've been looking forward to speaking to this bloke all week. His name is Bobby Quiney. He is a star and once again he's won another Sheffield Shield. Hello, Bobby.
How are you, Fev? How you doing, boy?
Well, how are you going? Great, man. An intensive week, I would have thought.
Pretty dusty, to be honest, at the moment. but it's all worth it, that's for sure. And you touched on, obviously, Snoring, getting those runs. And again, it's close to the end of the target. But it feels like about 2 weeks ago already.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to a few people and I was keeping an eye on the phone, Bobby. And I don't know, it was 80 or 90 on the final day with 8 wickets in hand. And it's a Sheffield Shield final day wicket. You lose a couple of early wickets. And I thought to myself, gee, they're not here. They're not home yet. That was an incredible thing that Stoinis did there. He won the game for you in a very short period of time and took any tension out of the whole thing.
Yeah, a couple of boys were mentioning in the car on the way to the ground that day that I think that the Vics were the only people who could see a potential collapse or anything like that, because I think when everyone else looked at it, the local papers were sort of writing the sackers off as well, and everyone was just pretty much saying it was just delaying the inevitable. But it was slow going at the start, and all of a sudden, Big Storm just come out and whack 4 sixes in a row, and I think everyone was just sitting pretty comfortably after that.
Mm. Now, Bobby, this is an amazing effort by the Vics, back-to-back.
Yep.
So, and you out of the 15 games, I think you play Sheffield Shield, 12 are interstate. So the frequent flyer points, you actually have to play away every single time, every week.
Yeah, there's heaps of points at the moment, Fev. last year, obviously, we're trying to organise to get the state centre up and going with the Junction Oval. We couldn't play there, so we had to play 2 home games at Alice Springs and one in Glenelg where we played this final. And then this year we've ventured out to Alice Springs again, but... so I think 4 of the 5 games post Big Bash were away, and then you whack the final on top of that as well. So, there's a few wives and girlfriends who haven't seen their partners for a while, but as I said at the start, it's all worth it because we've got some downtime now.
Now, enough of the serious stuff, Bobby. I actually watched this on my iPhone, the actual Sheffield Shield. I watched it for a couple of days because I was pretty busy at home. And you didn't trouble the scorers pretty... You didn't do anything.
Nah, I didn't.
Bobby, I'm just going to interrupt. Fev said he was watching and it started buffering and you're already out when the rebuffer was gone.
Well, in the first innings, I got the formats mixed up. I got 22 off 30. I thought I was playing a one-day game. and unfortunately missed one on the stumps in the second innings. But usually as an opener, I see the lights go on, and when the new ball stops swinging, then it's my turn to get out, and all the middle order and all the really good batters come in and they cash in. So I've done my job.
I'm pretty sure, though, you didn't contribute much with the bat, let's be honest, as we just spoke about. But, geez, you would have been good off it.
Best on?
No,
Dan Christian was probably best on. He's probably still going somewhere.
Surely you're in the votes.
I can't go the distance anymore. I give it a nudge during it. But all of a sudden, I just can't go the distance. I think 33 now, it's taken a toll on me. I've won four finals now, so all of that is taking a toll as well. So my wife's looking at me and shaking her head at the moment, which isn't great. But
I think Fev gets that reaction from a lot of blokes' wives. Hey, Pete Hanscom, 61 not out in the second dig, 100 in the first dig. Future test player, Bobby, you've been there yourself. You know what's required.
Yeah, he's good, and I think it's always good when Vics sort of support other Vics and pump Pill's names up and say that he should be playing for Australia and Stoinis and all that. But he's actually doing it off his own bat, and that's the best thing. He's a very good player of spin. He's stood up in the big game here and got man of the match and made some runs and did well in the Aussie A series in India last year. So he's still young enough, and Tom's on his side, and I can't wait to watch him to play for Australia because I know it's definitely going to happen.
Bobby, you're obviously an integral part of the Melbourne Stars. It was an incredible big bashy. You had that 80,000 for the Renegades game. Fev and I were talking about the T20 World Cup at the moment where the English will take on the West Indians. I don't know if you've seen the video of the likes of Dwayne Bravo and Darren Sammy coming into the hotel room after their semi-final win.
I haven't seen them coming into the hotel room. I'm pretty sure I saw a video of them in the lunchroom,
yes,
post game, and whacking all the food area and the Bay Marie and stuff like that, and carrying on, and they love it. A couple of boys got Dwayne Bravo's video out as well,
yes,
and we'll just try to watch it a few times and count exactly how many times he says champion.
who's the equivalent in the Victorian change rooms of your sort of Chris Gayle or Dwayne Bravo setup?
John Hastings.
Hastings will be up there, and Johnny Holland as well.
Oh, very confident man.
The duck. He loves it. He won One Day of Player of the Year
last night,
and during his speech, he had a go at the chairman selected, saying he probably should play a few more games, and this is a just reward. So
man that apparently named himself the Duck, gave himself the own nickname because he thinks he's like Wayne Carey.
Exactly like Wayne Carey, and he actually met. He met Wayne out one night a few years ago and told him the same story and said, you know, I nicknamed myself after you and everything like that. So, he's good. Touch on Harry. I'm not sure if you're going to touch on.
Yep.
And one of your close mates as well is Clint McKay, who's actually hung it up now. And, you know, he's massive sense of relief for him. But, you know, for someone like him to go out on his own terms, I thought it was pretty good. And he's been in the Vic for about 10 or 11 years now. And there's obviously probably acknowledgement for him as well. So
Essendon District cricket player. Jeez, he's got a little bit of swagger.
And really refound his rhythm up there in Sydney in the Big Bash as well. So hopefully that continues for him, Bobby, because he is a star. And for yourself, mate. Now, you take it easy. Don't end up on the front page of the paper. Congratulations on the 30th and your fourth shield. It's a wonderful effort, mate. It's always a pleasure to have a chat with you.
Drink responsibly, mate.
Yeah, always do, Fever.
He set it up. He's a set it up top of the square. Pendlebury can't hang on. Grundy! He's kicked a sausage! What the bloody hell's going on? Brodie Grundy has kicked a goal with 4 seconds left. The Maggies have hit the front. You wouldn't bloody well believe it.
The siren will sound. Have a listen to the noise from the Collingwood Army. They've won a famous game here at the MCG. 72,000 here to witness it.
Look at them go on.
The Pies get home. And are they going to celebrate in fine style?
That was obviously a pretty special moment. I haven't felt that much elation before on a field. So I was kind of... I suppose it makes amends for that one that I dropped just before. So, it was good to do it.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Somehow, the Magpies got the job done last night. 13-9-87, the Tigers 12-14-86. A one-point win to Collingwood. Brodie Grundy, the hero. Fev was there last night. Let's be honest, the first half, she was a slow affair.
She was a slow affair, mate, but Grundy was a bit up and about then, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I did notice post-game, I thought he's going to be the most excited man in the world. It was like they got beaten by 15 goals and he did a hamstring.
He wasn't very happy at all. I think I watched the first, between the first two and a half quarters, I was ready to go to bed.
Mm.
I haven't watched much footy. Obviously, being in South Africa, I didn't watch much footy last week, but watching that game, was nearly the worst game of footy I've ever seen. The turnovers, in front of 80,000, Collingwood, Richmond. But the last quarter and a half, wow. That's why we love footy. I actually tipped the Tigers and they could not have done anything more to lose that game.
Yeah, you're spot on. Walking through the crowd down to the rooms is why we love footy, because there was supporters just absolutely devastated. Richmond fans, they'd lost the game, and then the Collingwood guys were going absolutely off tap. It was an interesting kick from Darcy Moore, wasn't it? Dying seconds of the game, the free kick for out on the full. He could have had a shot. He chose to kick to the top of the square. Well, of course you would have had a shot.
I think Bucks after the game said that if you had your time over again, what sort of message would you send down to him? And he said not to kick it to the top of the square. So it actually was a perfect kick. I think we were talking about it before we went on air that it wasn't actually in the goal square. It was 20 metres out.
That's it.
And Riewoldt did the wrong thing by sort of punching it forward. and then the tallest bloke on the ground rows it and kicks a snag. So they were up and about. I think they crossed to Eddie straight away, and geez, his head nearly blew off.
Well, we spoke to him in the rooms on Triple M Footy.
He was still very happy,
shaking. Trav Cloke was under the spotlight. A lot, some good signs. How did you see his game last night?
Yeah, I think, you know, for such a high-profile player, I think his last few games haven't been crash hot. Haven't really watched too much at Collingwood, but I loved how he got out of the goal square. As a forward, you're only as good as your delivery. And if you get up the ground a little bit and you get a bit of a feel for the footy, sort of get you up and about a bit. And I thought that he did that well. And I love seeing it. I love seeing this from a forward. 9 kicks, no handballs. You don't handball it, which is brilliant. He had 9 kicks. But when he got the ball up on the centre wing, he turned around quickly and pump it in. And I think he had a few scoring involvements with that. So that gets him up and about a little bit. He did miss a few goals from set shots. He's kicking, everyone talks about, but he does drop the ball from a pretty high point. But, you know, he played on an All-Australian defender, 2 years in a row in Rance. He's very rarely beaten. I think, Cloakie might have taken the chocolates, even though he had only had 9 touches, but just his involvements and, creating space for someone to kick it to, that's all they need. He's a big boy.
Yep.
He's a massive man. So, and I think Darcy Moore gets a bit of, energy from that. And he does need help, Cloak, and, Darcy Moore's hands. I think we took one mark early in the third quarter, but they didn't pay it, and I think they got a goal. But that was a
genuine
great
pack mark.
Fazzolo, and he can kick.
Fazzolo obviously kicked 6 straight for the Pies, which was absolutely fantastic. For the Tigers, Dustin Martin, one of your favourite players, was good. Trent Cotchin, 38 disposals.
Yeah, junk touches, though.
Junk touches?
Oh, yeah, come on.
Well, you weren't happy with Cotchin's game.
No, third quarter was good. But as a leader and a captain of the footy team, I think that, his first quarter, I think he got 4 or 5 touches given to him. Like, when you're a captain, you don't need balls given to you. You got to go in and get it yourself. And when he gets tackled, it frustrates me. He's a great player, superstar. But, see, Dustin Martin, when he gets the footy, he does the fend off and he gets rid of it. But when Cotchie gets tackled, he always gets a handball out. And I think we're taught as kids, coaches, if you get tackled, and you can't get someone free with a handball, just take the ball, have a stoppage, ball up, or dropping the ball gives it time for the defenders to get back. Cotchie always just gets that little handball out. So I don't know if it's about possession.
He's got 38 touches, mate.
Yeah, but that's not a good touch. That's not all about the touches, my friend. I think I was listening to Channel 7 last night, and I think they mentioned it early. And I think Lingy and the Duck, your great mate, the Duck, said, "That's junk. He's getting junk touches."
Can I just say he's no longer my great mate because he's left me in the lurch. He's joined the football and he's got me scratching around and ringing blokes like you trying to get you out of bed on a Saturday morning.
Mate, I'm here with you. But anyway, that's Dustin Martin. Come on. He's my Brownlow tip.
A Brownlow tip. Yeah. Well, he was good last week, wasn't he? Will have
got
votes
good.
Again
got
yesterday.
Got votes again last night. He's a freak. Considering the pre-season he had, obviously, with the facade down at Chapel Street, which we probably won't go into. But he's really, it shows how mentally tough the kid is. He's had a great pre-season, looks fit. And, mate, he I'd love to play with that bloke.
Yeah, I can't imagine the two of you would be going out on the town. The club would be that happy.
This should be fun.
I'm not sure that's what the club would be after. So it was a 1-point win by the Magpies. Just had word through that Nathan Brown from the Collingwood Footy Club will be joining us after 11 o'clock as well. Next, Catherine Riewoldt. Nick plays game 300 tonight. A lot to talk to Catherine about. Mark Howe, Brendan Favola on the Dead Set Legends. Imagine that night out. Dustin Martin and Brendan Favola. Hold the front page. Triple M. Lem's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. All right, we've been pumping it up all show. This week, Fev headed down to Crown to do his first ever one-on-one interview with Hugh Jackman, who's promoting his new movie, Eddie the Eagle. I haven't heard this. I've been pumping it up. You've been pumping it up, more importantly.
I haven't said a word about it. I'm bloody nervous. So I don't know. Really it sounded.
I'll give you out of 5 when we come back from what I think of
remember,
your interview.
Remember, it's Hugh
technique.
Jackman.
Okay, all right. Well, no excuses. Let's just hear the bloody thing.
It's not
go.
Michael Schumacher.
Roll it.
This is my first ever interview. So
is it really?
I'm about to lose my virginity to you on my radio debut, so be a bit easy on me, mate.
I'll be joking.
So Eddie the Eagle, yep. Great story, true story about sports, which we both love.
That's it, man.
An underdog.
Yep.
Tell us a bit about it.
So the real guy from Cheltenham, who just missed out on the downhill skiing team, he was so annoyed by that. He just went for it, man, and he started jumping this crazy sport. People die in this sport like every year. And he broke almost every bone in his body, literally almost every bone, and went for it. And the idea that you don't have to win to be a winner, I think, is something that's really good for kids to hear these days.
Yeah, great message. Now, you coached.
Yeah.
Any chance if Port Adelaide struggle this year, you're going to get over there and Well, Coach Port?
Well, my coach was a drunk who spent most of the time telling
his... Don't worry, I've been there. I've been there, mate.
Telling his students to piss off most of the time. So I don't know, would that work?
Maybe it might work. Some tough love always worked. I had Dennis Pagan, that always worked.
Really?
Now,
was he tough on you?
He was very tough.
Really?
I don't think it worked too well with me, but it worked with a lot of people. Worked with the Duck, which was good.
Yeah.
Now, did you give Eric Banner a bit of a text on the weekend? They got the, you beat the Saints on the weekend, Port. Did you get
it? Yeah. You know, I was thinking of him on the weekend,
one
actually.
Up.
But my son's with him right now.
Oh, really?
Literally at his house. I'm going over to his place after. So
I'll give
him a
too far
later.
For me, actually. But obviously, everyone's going to be asking you about saving your son, but we're not going to go there. I just want to know, is there a new job offer in the line? You know, Baywatch, Bondi Rescue, any hit-ups?
I'd prefer Baywatch to Bondi Rescue, wouldn't you?
Take old Dave's spot.
I don't know. Bondi's a pretty, that's God's country.
It's God's country to you. You are a Sydney boy.
Yeah, but if there was a real rescue, I might really struggle. All the pretend ones, I'm fine with.
But I reckon Baywatch, maybe.
You think?
California Beach.
You like that?
Get the Wolverine rig on.
How are you doing, mate? Are you ready
for
Baywatch?
I'm too fat. I'm way too fat. It's been a bit of time in the jungle. Lost a little bit of weight, but I don't think I'm Baywatch. I hate sharks, so I'd be
do
no good.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Petrified.
You don't have to go in the water. Just
but if you've got to save someone, you've got to get in the water.
Send Hasselhoff out. Maybe he can go
just
do
go out. I think he's too old to swim now, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
Now, with Wolverine, seven shows.
Yeah.
Rocky only had five.
Really?
Any more?
One more to go.
Do you know it's the most ever sequels?
I heard that.
Yeah.
Someone did tell me that. Mate, you've done your research.
Yeah, I did
Brendan.
My research. Don't
first,
you worry about me,
first
mate.
First interview.
What's
look
my first
you.
One?
You're
I went
charging.
To the big dog. I went straight to the big dog.
Retire now, mate.
Retire. I'm done.
That's
this
it.
Is it.
That's
final.
It.
All right, mate.
Yeah, one more to go.
Pleasure.
So I'll
enjoy
see you on the,
enjoy your camera. Yeah, yeah.
Brendan.
And I love you, man.
Big picture.
I love you, man.
I love you too, Brendan. I love you, mate.
Thanks, man.
I like it.
Thanks, mate.
Now, I'll just give a... I've interviewed a few people, so I'm just going to give a bit of a summation of what I thought. Research, out of five, five. Excellent. Excellent. Content, four out of five, very sharp. Humour, four out of five, very good. Natural conversational tones, I enjoyed that. Four out of five. But your best score, with a seven out of five... making it all about you, Fev. I thought that was extraordinary.
He threw it to me and said, how are you? Like, you don't really expect that from, you know, a superstar like that when I'm there to interview him, because he obviously gets interviewed by a lot of people down that line. And he threw it to me and said, how are you going? I'm like, oh, hang on, I didn't really expect that.
The hard thing when you interview people like that is trying to make it different to every single thing they've been asked. And I think you achieved that, Fev.
Well, I think I did. And I thought I'd go with the Eric Banner because, you know, St Kilda, both big movie stars. But then... he said, you know, his kids are at the house now. So I thought that's for listeners, that's pretty good.
Well, that was a Hail Mary you threw out there. And you got a result.
Got a
you
result.
Asked a risky question.
Yeah, and got a result. And then I was obviously with Fifi and Dave. So they play an I Love You game.
Right.
And they've been trying it for 3 years or 2 years. And they've never got anyone to say I love you back. So it was my task to see if he could say I love you. And he said I love you back. So ticked it off. And I was really nervous. But he's such a ripping guy. And... He knew it was my first. He knew how nervous I was, and he just made you feel so like we're mates. It was just a good chat that you sit around and, you know, you're at the bar and you have a bit of a chinwag, and I think he's only supposed to talk to you for like a minute, and it was a good 2.5 minutes.
I think this is the start of a burgeoning career for you. I can see you down on a sort of a smoking chair and a jacket going one-on-one interviews with the world's big names. One person in the world, and I haven't given you much notice here, one person in the world you can sit down and interview with for 10 minutes, who is it?
LeBron.
LeBron.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen. Footy coming up next on the Dead Set Legends. Ain't happening, brother. He doesn't hear about the jungle. He doesn't care about some bogan from bloody Narrawarren who kicked 100 goals.
Wow.
Footy next.
I'll get him.
Triple M. No, you won't.
I'll get Matty D.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. In about 5 minutes' time, the boys from the Saturday Rub will be ready to fire. Fev, at this stage of the show, we like to, if you haven't been listening to the whole show, you might have missed Robbie Quiney, Hugh Jackman, Lauren Jackson, Mark Harvey, Catherine Rewald, Greg Rust and more. This is a bit of what happened over the last 3 hours.
It was nearly the worst game of footy I've ever seen. The turnovers, you know, in front of 80,000, Collingwood, Richmond. But the last quarter and a half, wow.
Now, before we let you go, Fev did touch on the stuff the footy club had been during the week. It becomes a very personal thing, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is, and don't like being perceived by the public in a certain way, and especially over something that's been made up and it's not even true. So, yeah, journalists, they can write whatever they want, but
team to get away with.
Mark Harvey joins us from Essendon.
Talking about South Africa halves and top up players, Tom in good nick at the moment.
Come on.
I'm in
listen.
Good nick.
Like, wow. Tell you what, when you eat scorpions, intestines and all that sort of stuff, I'm not sure...
Mate, if you want bums on seats, I can turn it on. Don't worry about that.
Hello to Lauren Jackson.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, darling. How are you going? Getting married again, I hear.
Exclusive.
Oh, bang.
Hugh Jackman.
Oh, nice way to start things.
Now, with Wolverine, seven shows.
Yeah.
Rocky only had five.
Really?
Any more?
One more.
You've done your research.
Yeah, I did
Brendan.
My research. Don't you worry about me,
first
mate.
First interview.
What's my first one? I went for the big dog. I went straight to the big dog.
Retire now, mate.
Retire. I'm done. That's this it. Is it. That's final. It.
Nicely done, and Lauren Jackson just bang, declaring you were getting married as well.
LJ.
Mm. Declaring you were getting married again as
I
well.
I heard it the first time, mate.
Right. Yeah. We've still got 1:45 to go. Legend of the week, have you got one for us?
Legend of the week. Oh, I think the legend of the week have to be Lauren Jackson. An amazing career. You know, she's been playing basketball for Australia or something since she's like 15 or 16. And to hang it up now, you know, she'd go down as probably the best basketball Australia's ever produced.
No doubt about it. My dead set legend of the week is you.
Oh.
Because I've been with the beautiful Mrs. Howie, Erica, for 9 years. Our first date started between a Carlton Hawthorn game on the couch where I thought we might get a bit of kiss and cuddle, but the Hawks beat you by 100 points and we were on separate couches by the end of it in the entire 9-year period. And I love the girl more than I love life itself. Carlton has never beaten the Hawks. It nearly happened once. But this is why you're my dead set legend of the week. Closing stages, Hawthorn Carlton a few years back.
Favola's run out for he's never kicked 9 goals. Here he is to win the game for the Blues. He kicks a goal. No, he's missed it. Hit the post.
She was jumping around because
so
she heard Chris O and it hit the post.
I thought it was a goal as well.
Thank you, brother.
I don't really celebrate that often and it was going through and I think it shaved the post and...
And the Hawks won.
Yeah, I just did that for you.
No,
I did that for you.
I appreciate it. Hey, it's been a treat to have you on.
Thank you for having me, mate. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fantastic. Thanks to all our wonderful guests. The boys from the Saturday Rub coming up. Triple M Footy tonight. We'll be doing Nick Riewoldt's 300th game versus the Western Bulldogs this afternoon, Melbourne and Essendon. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Hopefully Mick Fanning can get the job done at Bell's Fev. It's been a treat to all our guests, to MJ, to Hype, everyone for getting to air. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. It's now time for the boys on the Saturday Rub. Brendan Favola doing well on debut. Peace.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.